Blog Talk Radio.
Out of his chest. Yeah, you know, this is great, isn't it? Welcome. Good evening, friends. The Cubanarama is rocking all the way from Minneapolis out to the world. This song is terrific. I think all of us can associate with a broken heart, you know, in the beginning. Somebody tells you to get lost. Sometimes they tell you in a nice way, but, you know, it just means the same thing. It's like, I don't want you in my life anymore. And we just get so brokenhearted. And it's like, you know, how dare they treat me like that? We've heard songs from women. I remember one that was, do you remember that one, co-host? I'm a bitch. I'm a liar. I'm a, you know, I can't remember. Maybe Corey remembers. We'll talk to him about this. But this is a male version, and I think males and females alike, we know what it's like, broken heart. And so he's telling her where to go. Awesome, Corey. Good for you. But at the top of the show, you heard that song, Cubanarama. Isn't that the greatest song? That song was done by Sugarcane Rush, all the way from, I think they're all from Cuba. Not sure. Well, you know, I interviewed them once before, but now I've been talking to so many people, I'm becoming like senile. I start losing it. But anyways, most of them, Marco Dahl, she's from Marco Island in Florida. You know them, Marco. Tell me in the chat room, are they all from Cuba? I know they're, some of them are. Anyways, you can find their music at cdbaby.com. Look for Sugarcane Rush, digstation.com as well. And they are on Facebook. They have a fan page on Facebook. So add them to your, you know, your fan page. Anyways, tonight, guess what? I have Corey Kohler. And Corey Kohler is an artist, musician from Minneapolis. Well, I'll say Minneapolis, but he'll tell us. Well, he's from Minnesota. And I'm so excited because I get a lot of people on the show from, I even have people on this show from other countries. You know, we Skype them in. So this is so exciting because last night I had a show with a couple from Minnesota, and tonight I have another one from Minnesota. So this is exciting for me. And our guest is on the line. Good evening, Corey. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm surprised you started with that song, but it's all good.
You know why I started with that song. I wanted to pump everybody up. I actually had the song that I was going to start with was, where's my list here? I got, okay, hang on a second. I got the list. How to Change the World. But you're too nice. So I had to, you know, I had to make you a bad boy. You know what? This song, when I heard this song, I was upstairs listening to it, and I tell my co-host, I said, I can see us in Minnesota around a bonfire, and everybody just having a, you know, a keg, and everybody just singing it out loud. It's just a great song.
I'm really glad that you like it. Cause
yeah, go ahead. Well, I think we have a little delay. Do we have a little delay with the Skype, I think? Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll shut up now.
I was going to say, it's good to hear that like a woman liking that song, because usually when
Okay, hang on a second, Corey. Can you check out what the... Can you guys on the tell us, okay, they're checking us out here. Okay, let us know on the chat room if you can hear him, because I'm hearing you kind of breaking in. But that's okay. We're going to figure it out before it's too late. Go ahead. You're saying that you like the fact that a female heard, perspective is that I like the song because what is other women's take on that when they hear it?
I apologize, but you're breaking up really bad. Maybe the Skype thing isn't working out too hot.
Yeah, that is, you're breaking up for me too. So what do we do? I'll have the co-host. What are we going to do? Because you're not too far. Do you want to call it in?
Yeah, that's fine. We can do it. I got it all ready to go.
Awesome. Why don't we go ahead and call it in then? Okay, for everybody out there, we're gonna let the Skype go, and he's going to call me back. I could tell that there was a little delay. That's why we're tripping on each other. And so you can go ahead and try that. And the phone number for you, Corey, is 1-347-843-4787. You can, you know, co-host, you can say it in too. You can let him know. I think he knows. I still see him on the switchboard, but. You know, he wrote it down. I think that what he's saying is that, you know, most women, if you're going to hear this song coming from a guy, you're going to go, oh, what a jerk, or, you know, he's a pig, right? I mean, we just we're not very good with that because we don't want to hear it. We want, you know, like, we want to hear love songs and all that. But you know what? You have to give it to a guy who says, really, you know, to all the girls that, you know, you did this to me. Because women, we can be wonderful, but I know there's, you know, sometimes we're not so hot, really. I mean, we have to own it. We have to say, yeah, you know, we could be better. I have known a few who have taken a guy's heart and just kind of squished it and stomp on it. So, you know, when I hear a guy kind of bitter towards women, it makes me feel sad because there's a lot of good women out there too. And so hopefully, I think Corey is going to come back through his telephone, and he's going to, you know, there's so many beautiful songs that he has written, and when you hear the rest of them, I think he's in a very good place nowadays. He's in a place where he's very supported by, is this a new number that just popped up? I don't think so. Okay. The number for you, Corey, is 1-347-843-4717. I have done the Skype deal before, and it worked out very well, but for some reason, I don't know what happened. We also got some new equipment. Can you tell me what that was, co-host? What did we get today? A UPS? And it's not a guy that brings packages. I was going to say I wish, but no, I don't need a guy who brings packages. A UPS, I have no idea what it is. But in case our electricity goes out like it did last night and we were off the air for about 6 minutes, and 6 minutes doesn't seem like a long time, but you really miss out. And so, you know, the UPS really helps us so that when we lose electricity, it will, you know, we won't lose the radio. And they're telling me that Raul Rodriguez was born in Miami. He is the singer of Cubanarama on Block Talk Radio. Is there a reason why our friend is not? Do you want to call Corey? Do you have a phone number here? Just to make sure that he has that he has the phone. He does have the phone number, but sometimes, you know. Oh, there he is. Oh, our guest is, all I have to do is open up his mic. Hang on, guys. And I think we're going to have a wonderful conversation, and you'll be able to listen to him just perfect. Are you on the line, Corey?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Awesome. I can hear you perfect, too. So
okay.
Good.
Oh, wonderful. Well, why don't you, let's start from the beginning. Why don't you tell our friends where you're from and who you are?
My name is Corey Kaler, but you guys knew that. I'm from Minnesota, a town, a very small town called Minnesota City. It's about 2 hours south on the Mississippi River from where Marta is right now. And I'm a 37-year-old father of three who decided one day that he was going to try to pursue music. And that's why I'm here today.
Wonderful. Can you speak up a little bit, Corey, so we can hear you a little bit better? Or maybe the microphone isn't too close to you.
Okay, how's that? Is that better?
I think it sounds about the same, but you guys on the chat can let me know if you hear them okay. Can't hear you. They say they can't hear you. We had a little bit of that yesterday where our, you know what? It's really funny because whenever we have our interview with anybody from, you know, any Latinos, any Cubans, they're so loud. But Minnesota people are so quiet. They, you know, they. I think it's because you guys are from Minnesota.
All right. How's this?
You sound excellent now. Yes.
Okay, good.
Go ahead.
All right.
Oh, you sound great. So anyway, so you're telling me about this song. Why is it that most women don't like it? Because they feel like you're telling them off, or what? What's going on?
You know, I'm not saying that they don't. That most women don't like it. I just never really had a comment except for maybe like some raised eyebrows from like my wife or something. You know, I mean, I've really never had I've never had like any real feedback from women. That's why I figured that, you know, silence was telling me something. And usually it's the guys that were at the bar telling me, because I, to be honest with you, I never even intended to record that song. It was just kind of a funny thing I did in my basement like 4 or 5 years ago, and I was going to play it for my friends because I knew that they would get it and they would have a good laugh and we could do it around the campfire and we're having beers or something like that. And I just played it at the bar one day and they're like, hey, what's that? And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, it's a song I made up. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, can you play it again? So I figured
exactly.
I had something there. So
Oh, I love it. I you know, that's exactly so funny that you say the campfire and stuff, because that's exactly, you know, when I listen to your music, that's what it feels like. It's Minnesota music, yet it isn't really like just for people from Minnesota. I mean, anybody around the country and even outside of this country, your voice is just transcending. It's so beautiful. The first time that I heard your voice was when you sent me the song How to Change the World, and I thought it was absolutely beautiful, just beautiful.
Thank you.
And I think at that time you only had this song. And so you've really come a long way. Is that true? You only had that song, or did you have all of these?
I do have a lot of songs. It's just it takes a while to record them and to work them out and to make them sound pretty so that we can listen to them on the radio usually. But yeah, that was the first song that I ever recorded, the How to Change the World. And now I have seven. So it's
Yeah, these are beautiful. Now, did you write these seven songs within the time that you and I have known each other, or did you have these songs already and you just reworked them?
I would say out of all the songs that you have there, only two of them were written in the time that we've known each other, probably in the last year. A lot of the other ones, maybe a little older. The one that you just heard, that one's probably about 4 years old. That was like I said, that was something that was just laying on the bottom of the pile of songs that I have. And
wow.
I just happened to play it in front of the right people one day, and they all encouraged me to record it. So
I am so glad, and I hope that you keep bringing some of these songs out to those people, because they really know, you know. I remember one time I was in Minneapolis many, many years ago, and we were just bar hopping, my sister and her fiancé at the time, and my husband at the time, we were dating, and we walked into this bar. I don't even remember the bar's name, but they were playing Mac the Knife, and everyone inside the bar was singing that song, and they were having a ball. We happened to just stumble upon it, and we started singing too. It was the best time ever. And this song kind of, I mean, it just reminds me of that kind of an effect that you would, you know, whenever this song is played at a club, you're going to hear people going, and including the women. I don't care what they say. I think that women will love it because they know what they've done to you guys.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I was a little worried about this song. And, you know, I didn't know. I kind of went through this soul-searching period because, and I don't know, it sounds odd now because everybody seems to like it, but I was kind of worried that it was going to contradict, like, some of the other messages in my song, you know, like trying to be all positive in some of my other songs, and then I got some lovey-dovey songs, and then all of a sudden I got this one where I'm telling women to go to hell, and I was just a little worried about it there for a little bit, but you put my mind at ease right now. So
listen, if you give me this song to listen to, and then I have to listen to You Can Break My Heart, My Achy Breaky Heart, come on.
yeah.
See, which one are you going to go for? Right?
Good.
I mean, guys are not going to sing that breaky, breaky thing. You know, and look at how big this guy was. So I wish the best for you. I hope this song makes it to the top of the charts, and, you know, we make you proud. Minnesota, make this guy proud, and all over the U.S., because you really deserve to have a place in the charts. That's where did you learn how to write music like this? Were you always like the guy in high school who was, you know, doodling in his notebook when the teacher was talking, or were you, was this something that you learned that you had later on, this gift?
I think it was something that kind of came out when I was in my 30s. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know why, but I just realized that I just like to write stuff down and do like rhyming. And then I never really took it that seriously until, you know, a couple of years ago. And then I started reading more and studying other songwriters, and I just kind of went from there. But it's been a long trip, I guess. I don't know how far you want me to go back. I'm like 37 years old in high school. That seems like that was maybe a eternity ago. You know,
well,
so.
you say you started writing in your 30s, and it's a long ways back. But come on, you've only been writing and doing music for 7 years. That's a heck of a record. And
yeah, Well, I guess I always loved music when I was younger, and I always knew that I wanted to do it, but I think that what I did is I listened too much to, you know, like a lot of people, like, oh, you know, you don't want to do that. That's a hard life, and, you know, you should get a nice job, which I did do. I went down that path, and, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. We always know that, but I kind of got away from the whole music, and I grew up listening to heavy metal, you know, so.
Wow.
So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, and it's funny, that's kind of like you were talking about Rob Anthony the other day. He was like in a heavy metal band, and then, you know, all of a sudden now we're like these acoustic guys that are singing, you know, acoustic music, and it's just funny that that's probably why I'm thinking that I never really found my voice, because I was listening to like heavy metal, and it wasn't something that I was able to perform. But then after I got an acoustic guitar in my late 20s, all of a sudden I was like, hey, wow, look at this thing. I can actually do something with this, and hey, I can sing too. So it was kind of a late bloomer thing. But
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And for you guys who don't know who he was just talked about, he was mentioning Rob Anthony from Wisconsin. Is he right? He's from Wisconsin.
Yes. Yep.
And he's an amazing musician. In fact, Corey and I met through Rob Anthony, and Rob Anthony came on my show, and then I think you – did you listen to that show?
Yes, I did.
And then after that, you wrote to me, and we have been planning this show for some time, so I am so excited that you're here tonight. All of these songs are amazing. I want to take a little break because I do want to go back, and I just noticed that a bunch of people came on the chat room, and I know that they're out there listening, and so why not play a little something else for notice Wolf Gal. You got a listener all the way from Canada. She's always with us on the show. Thank you, Wolf, Marco, for showing up, and guess what? Let's listen to, oh, I don't know which one to get. They're all so good. I really like the one about the ring. You know what? I picked the first one, and I surprised you. How about if you pick the second song? What would you like me to play?
Why don't we go with, why don't you try Take This Ring? It's kind of it's a mellow ballad. So I think I wrote it for my uncle's wedding. He wanted me to sing a Cat Stevens song for, you know, during his ceremony, and I just wasn't able to pull off the Cat Stevens, so I just told him, I'm like, you know what, why don't I try writing you a song? You know, I kind of threw it out there, and he was brave enough to let me try it like a month and a half before his wedding, and well, this is the result of me trying to write a song for his wedding.
That's great. So he wanted you to play Morning Has Broken, but you weren't feeling the cat, huh?
That's right. Yeah, I wasn't feeling the cat is right.
Okay. Well, guess what, guys? We're going to play this one for you. And this is a beautiful song, Take This Ring. And we will be right back.
Without you, didn't make me laugh. always quit with a compliment. When I'm alone, I get goosebumps just thinking about you. Did I crave your touch? You make me feel so alive. Now I see you there with a smile on your face and a spark in your eye. Now I'm standing here cause I know I can't let you go. See, the sick is bringing me life forevermore. Be the beat of my heart, the sunshine when it rains. Cause all I need is you, like the birds need the sky. Spread their wings and fly away. Sick is bringing my
always, you know, I'm amazed about the people that come through this show, and I always think underground music is the best. I feel like I am the luckiest woman in the whole wide world, because when I get in my car, I have what you call a thumb drive, and it's not your thumb, and don't ask me to describe it, because you know me. I don't know technology, but I sure do use it, and I love it, because I have these wonderful musicians, beautiful, they're saying on the chat room, wonderful musicians' music that I listen to. And I know come summer, I'm going to have my windows down and I'm going to make a lot of people jealous, because they're going to be going, where did she get that song? And I'm just hoping for someone one day to, you know, when I'm at the gas station, when they hear this stuff, they go, who are you listening to? And then I can brag, you know, hey, that's my friend, Corey. Corey, I can't believe you. You said you picked up a guitar at 30. You started writing at 30?
Not that seriously, but it wasn't until the last 2 or 3 years that I really thought that, hey, I should try doing something with this. And more recently, in the last year, it was a year ago today, I don't think I even would have known that I was even going to try putting out a CD. So it's all kind of like the last second thing. But
okay.
I really appreciate
the
comments.
Did you go through something huge in life that you know, because sometimes people go through a death or, did something happen that made you go inside and try to find what this gift was? Or did you just, it was just a passing thought and you thought, oh, what the heck, I'm going to try it. I want to get to the bottom of it, because there's a lot of people out there I mean, okay, myself included, I would love to sing. I would love to sing, but I don't think I can. So how did you do it if you had never done it? And I can't play guitar. So did you play guitar before? Yes, he's from Minnesota, guys. He's from Minnesota.
I always kind of knew that I always knew how to play guitar. Like when I was okay. In junior high and high school, I think my dad bought me an electric guitar, and I had that. Then I got to college, and I never really did a lot with it. And then I went to college, and I ended up pawning it all off pretty much just so I could, go drinking or something probably. Who knows what it was. You know, when you're in college, that's kind of the way it goes. but I went away, and I never really realized that I could sing. I maybe had an inkling of it when I was in the military for a couple of years back in the early 90s. And when we used to sing cadences, I kind of had an inkling that, wow, I kind of can sing. But then I never really thought about it until I would say, like, in my late 20s. I think it started around a campfire, and I just started playing, like, other guys would be playing guitar. And I'd be like, well, I'd try singing a song, and people would be like, hey, wow, geez, when'd you learn how to do that? And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, and they're, and they're like, well, you're singing and stuff. And then it just kind of progressed from there, and then one day I'm like, well, I need to find somebody to play guitar. And then and then it just eventually I could never find anybody. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to have to learn how to do them both at the same time. And that's kind of what happened. And that's, I guess, how I got here now. It's
How did you learn how to play guitar by yourself? You bought a guitar and you picked it up. Did you read a book or did you go? Did you get a book like Guitar for Dummies or what?
Well, I knew a little bit from, like I said, when I was younger, but then there was a point where I moved in with a friend of mine, and this is at the late 20s stage, and he was a musician, and he had just had tons of stuff laying around the house, you know, basses, guitars, drums, you name it. There was something laying around, and then I just started, you know, fiddling around with the guitar one day, and I'm like, hey, I kind of remember how to do this, you know, and and then I started getting, you know, I just started doing stuff like off the internet, you know, you could go just find tabs and different stuff to learn how to play and, you know, learn how to play a couple songs here. And eventually I bought a guitar and eventually I started, you know, getting, grabbing my, you know, what's and like playing in front of people in campfires. And then, the feedback was always positive. So, I just kept playing and here I am, you know,
that's wonderful. Well, now I know. I think I'm just going to go ahead and pick up, and start singing every day because who knows? This is amazing. So you are a believer that just go ahead and try new things and don't be afraid. I mean, you have been around. You've done quite a few. Tell me all the things you've done in your life because I was really surprised when I talked to you earlier and our friends have no idea all the little things you have been involved with.
Oh, boy. I'm not even sure where to start. I've had many different jobs. The latest of which I've been at a company right now. I guess I won't bring them into the conversation now in case I say something. But I've been there for 13 years, and I was actually a draftsman.
Uh-huh.
And I worked at multiple factory jobs before I became a draftsman, and I worked in a foundry, and that was kind of. I ended up dropping out of college way back then. Maybe I should start from this right. Okay.
What's
from
a foundry?
School,
I'm from Cuba. Cubanos don't know anything about foundries.
Yeah, that's like a northern thing because it'd be too hot to have something like that down there. But it's a place where how do you explain it? You melt metal and then you make it into something else. You pour it into a mold and then it comes out, you know, something. It's really hot and dirty and stinky. that's what a foundry is.
Okay, I'll take your word. I can kind of smell the metal already, and I can see you all kind of sweaty coming home with a uniform. Is that what you wore?
Yeah, it was.
See?
Yeah, it was a hot place. That's a whole talk show all by itself telling you about the foundry. That's for sure. But eventually, I went back to school to finish up my school, and that's what I did. I then became a draftsman. Did that for a bunch of years, and then somewhere along the line, I just had like this inner knowing saying, you know what, you're not really doing what you should be doing. There's something else that you need to be doing. And I didn't really know what it was at the time. I didn't necessarily know it was music or who knows. It could have been needlepoint. I don't know. It could have been anything at that point. But I knew I had to figure something out, and that's what I did. And eventually,
that's
just
funny.
Started. You know, I need to figure out how to do this music thing. And I kind of took a backwards approach in the beginning because I'm like, well, I need to be able to do this all day long. You know, I can't do it. So instead of like figuring out how to play music all day long, I figured I was going to try to find some sort of an opportunity that would make me enough money so that I could play music all day long and not have to work, you know, I went off the beaten path and ended up coming full circle back to music, but I did learn a lot of stuff on the wrong path, but I'm here now. I'm cruising right along, and I knew I had to do it. I was kind of afraid of the music thing for a while, to be honest with you, because it's like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know why I was afraid, but it's just like, it probably had a lot to do with like self-doubt, you know, probably
mm-hmm.
just kind of thinking like, boy, I don't know if I can do this. Can I really stand up in front of, you know, 30 people or 5 people and sing songs, you know, like, and mean it, you know, and touch people. And I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a scary thing, but, eventually I just realized, you know, this is what I got to do. And, you know, how can I tell my kids to follow their heart when, their dad can't even follow their heart? You know, that's kind of what it came down to. So
that is neat. And so when you think of yourself, do you think of yourself as, Corey Kohler, the dad, the husband, the father, or do you think of yourself now as also a musician? Because the reason why I'm asking you is because I have friends who just recently have published books, who I have had them on the show, and it's really funny. One gal said, I don't consider myself a writer, but she is an amazing writer, and in fact, I think I may have told you this when we spoke earlier, her poems are going to become music now. And I was telling her, I don't really consider myself a talk show host, but people say I'm doing okay and they like what I do. And so that's why I keep coming back. And every time that I think I'm going to, you know, give it up, they say, please don't. We really love it. We love the people that you bring on the show and we like the show. So here, you know, sometimes I think, am I really or am I not? I don't know. You guys tell me. But do you think of yourself as a musician or are you starting to believe it now? Obviously, because you're doing it. Or do you
I think that I am, and I don't have a problem with calling myself a musician or a songwriter, or, you know, I don't. At first it was kind of odd, but I think now it's starting to kind of sink in now that I've actually spent some time in a studio and I get some feedback
mm-hmm.
for my songs. And one piece of advice that always sticks in my head as far as, you know, being able to call yourself what it is that you want to do, if that makes sense. But I read a lot of success kind of novels, and I like to read about people that are very successful just to kind of see if, you know, like I want to learn from them, you know. So
right.
So one of the phrases that always sticks out in my head is it goes like this. It goes, fake it till you make it, you know. And and you know, and that one just seems to resonate with me because it's like, you know what, I might not know exactly what the heck I'm doing here, but you know, I might not be the Beatles, but I'm just gonna keep going and going until something happens, you know. And I think you're doing the same thing with your talk show, you know, fake it till you
thank
make
you.
It, right? You know,
thank
you. You gotta start somewhere, you know.
Right. I so fake it. You know that okay. The word fake has. I get you, but I've never been very good at faking anything.
No, I know what you're saying. It is kind of a harsh word, but.
But yeah, it is. But I can understand it because what you're saying is, go ahead and call yourself whatever it is that you're like. If you're studying to be a doctor and you're not a doctor yet, you don't. You know that you usually see it in doctors more, or even lawyers before they become. That they are already saying, you know, I'm studying to be a doctor, and people start already, you know, family members will call them doctor this or, you know, right? But you don't hear too many people calling, you know, like people like myself, radio host, you know. I mean, in fact, you know, sometimes you'll have friends kind of laughing at you or, you know, just kind of poking fun because they don't really take you seriously. I think the art is like the hardest thing to break into, don't you think?
I think so, and I have friends, and I'm actually thankful for them because they don't really like my music at all. A couple of my really good friends, and,
wow.
and it's like it's nothing against them; it's just not their style. Because like I was like I was saying before, I grew up kind of a heavy metal guy, and that's kind of what they are. You know, I mean they don't really listen to the kind of music that I play to begin with. But the great thing about them is, you know, they are supportive. But at the same time, they're pretty honest with me, and it's kind of nice, you know, because a lot of times people start to tell you like, oh, you're really good and you're awesome and you're unbelievable, and then it's like, you know, your head starts to swell a little bit, but then all of a sudden you're with your buddies on a Friday night drinking beer, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, they'll bring you right back down, you know, so you're always going to be attached, you're going to be tethered to earth a little bit, you know, like if you got your buddies around, so
right.
But they can tell you where
your weaknesses
are. Absolutely. I'm going to get an honest answer out of them for sure. So I appreciate having that outlet for sure. It's nice.
That's awesome. I just wanted to bring one thing up because you mentioned to me that you also tried a little radio. I don't know how long. Is it okay to talk about it?
Oh, yeah, that's not a problem. That was one of the things I did when I was trying to avoid being a musician, I guess, if that's what it was.
And so you did what? You were doing football on the radio?
Yeah, I did a couple different things. It started when I started looking for things to do like that were, you know, that would give me enough time, like where, okay, I'm going to make a bunch of money and then I can, that money will just kind of, you know, come in to the bank and I don't know, you know, all the get rich quick schemes and stuff like that. I've tried a couple in my time and eventually I started coming around more towards like blogging and podcasting. And at one point I was doing a fantasy football blog, which I kind of still do a little bit on the side. I don't do it as much as I used to cause it takes a lot of time. And now I'm concentrating more on the music, but I did some NFL fantasy football blogging and I had a couple years I had a podcast and I did have a blog talk radio show where I was, you know, I just would get on the phone and, a bunch of us football nuts would geek out about, NFL football for like a half hour. And then, you know, a lot of people listen to us like a lot of people listen to you, you know?
Yes, that's wonderful. Do you know that tonight I just went a little crazy? Kobana Rama goes crazy. My daughter will say Kobana Rama goes wild. But I got on Facebook, and you know what? I liked each and every one of you guys actually give me an inspiration of where can I market you, because this is really where I just love to find places for you guys to spread the music. And I just typed up Minnesota, and a bunch of Minnesota Viking stuff came up, and I started posting you in Minnesota, in Iowa, in South Dakota, or anything that was around this area, and including Chicago, and of course my friends in Miami. No, they're all trying to figure out where you are. There you go. Thank you for putting that up. His web address is www.planetcorey.com, and that is planet, you know how to spell planet, and Corey, Corey.com, Corey.com. And there you have blogs, and you'll tell me in a second. But I'm excited that you did try radio. No wonder you're such a wonderful person to interview, and you are witty and funny, and, you know, you have a great radio voice. So you don't think you'll ever take my job, huh?
No, I have a music blog as well that I do on the side. I don't keep it up as much as I used to, but every once in a while I'll do like a podcast. And I did about 30 episodes where I would just do, you know, one episode would have like country music and then another episode would have heavy metal and then another one would have, who knows, maybe just a big mix. So I do like talking about music and playing other people's music and sharing it just like, you know, just like you do. But now I got my own, and I might start doing that at some point. I think I might have to eventually have my own podcast. So I'll play like a little of my music, and then I'll play some music from some other people and share it with my fans, because I love music. There's so much music out there, like you were saying before about, you know, independent music and, underground stuff. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I can guarantee that there's probably a lot better music just lingering around on the internet than there is, like, if you just flip on the radio and listen to the same songs over and over. Nothing against the artists that are on there, but there's just so much good stuff out there, and a lot of it's not really making it onto the main radio stages, which is kind of amazing sometimes.
That is really sad. And, you know, just recently I have learned that in order for people to be played on the radio, they have to pay, the artists themselves have to pay the station an awful lot of money, which I never knew that before. I thought that if you were really good and you, you know, passed somebody a CD and you had some connections, maybe they would play you. But the same thing, it just really depends. It's sort of like a little bit of a, I don't know, mafiosos to me. I'd say, you know what, this is why Blog Talk Radio works, because we don't take money from anybody in order to play you. If I like what you're playing, I'm going to have you on the show. And I will spread to all my friends who you are, and I will tell everybody, because I just think you guys need a chance. You need to get your music out and an avenue to express yourself. We have Criss Cross Radio here. She is from New Jersey. She's another host from Jersey. And I have quite a few friends, you know, that do Blog Talk Radio, and I plan on passing all of my friends around so that your music can be heard of in New York, in Jersey, where her base is at. I've got other friends in Arizona. So, you know, hopefully with God's help, everybody will get on the same page, and we're going to start doing something terrific for you guys. Because I believe you're right. There's a lot better music on the internet than there is. You know, I got rid of all of my CDs. Everybody knows that by now, you know, and I say it, I used to have a ton of CDs. But there was maybe only one song that was good in the CDs, you know. And
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say that now all of the music that I have is good. Every single artist that I have met, all of their songs are good. So why have just a ton? I mean, you know, I was storing a lot of CDs for just one song. We burnt them, put them on a computer, but now I really like this stuff because I have Jana Mashoni, Rob Anthony. If you guys haven't listened to, he's a friend of Rob Anthony's. Check him out on Facebook as well. Jana Mashoni is coming on the show next, I believe it's in April. She just got signed up with Sony. So I have been finding the best. If I have them on the show, I believe that you guys are going to be the future music, because I don't know, where have you been hiding? You were hiding this thing that you had inside, and didn't you ever feel it? Like, didn't you, like, in your 20s really have the burning to get and do it? Or how was it that in the 30s? Because I can't imagine that it was dormant all this time.
You know, I always loved music, and just to kind of bring that point across a little more is, like, when you just told me that you got rid of all your CDs, I don't know how I'd be able to do with that, or how I'd be able to do that, because I've got, like, tons of CDs. I still got cassette tapes, if you believe that. I got about a couple hundred cassette tapes. I mean, I'm a music junkie.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I was a DJ when in my early 20s, so it's like I've always had music in my life one way or another. I guess if I wasn't playing it, I'd still be buying it, and I'd still be telling my friends about it, just like I always have. You know, it just, it is funny that I didn't know for such a long time, or that I didn't realize that I would be able to pull any of this stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love music. So no matter what was going to happen, I would still be able to talk to people and, you know, swap stories about the latest concert I went to, whatever the latest music article I read. I mean, I've just always been a music fan, no matter what, and I always will be, first and foremost. So,
I have too, but for some reason, like I would listen to a song, and out of a CD, I would like really love. I mean, obviously, there are some musicians that I love the whole CD, but there were so many that there was only one song, and you know, my oldest is 27, and he said, "Mom, you have all the stuff here, and it's clutter. Can I get?" Well, he's in college too, so I wonder if he wanted that money for drinking.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I don't think so. He's a good kid. But you know what? It's about time for another song. And I want to play Minnesota. Did I have the choice last time, or did you?
You gave me the choice, so it's all up to you this time.
Oh, so this time it's mine. Okay, I want to play Minnesota Got Colder. Can you tell me a little bit about that song?
This song here, this was one that I wrote last year.
Mm-hmm.
I remember on the day of the Super Bowl, last year's Super Bowl, we got a call, an aunt of mine passed away. It was just completely just sudden, happened out of the blue. She just had an aneurysm and she was gone pretty quick. But I watched a lot of my aunts and my uncles, lose their first sibling, so
yeah.
I watched that. And then a couple months later, one of my very good friends, his father passed away. It was the first father of my immediate friends, the
mm-hmm.
guys that I grew up with in my entire life. And then a couple
mm-hmm.
months after that, another one of my good friends' father passed away. So in the space of 6-7 months, I was at
mm-hmm.
a lot of funerals, and it
wow.
was just kind of tough. It was kind of tough walking through all these lines and telling everybody that you're sorry for their loss, even though you know there's so much more that you would want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's where the song kind of came from. It was kind of like, this is my philosophy on death, and I don't know how to comfort you,
mm-hmm.
so here's a song, and maybe this will.
Right.
I just, lost ones are only a memory away. I guess that's the shortest way to kind of sum up this whole song. So,
right, and it does feel like that because there was one year where I think we had in the family we had about 4 funerals and about 3 weddings, and it almost was I don't want to say comical, but it was like that movie, 3 Weddings and a Funeral or something like that. But it was so crazy because every wedding that I went to, my husband couldn't go because one of his relatives, he was burying them. And so it was really hard where I was going to go, and I was in one of my sister's wedding, and I was, going out to something joyful and kissing my husband goodbye, crying. I mean, it was just crazy. So I know, and it does feel colder. You come home and you go, it just feels weird when somebody that you love is gone and it's winter time. It feels weird any time, but it's worse in the winter. Okay, we're going to listen to that song, Minnesota Got Colder, and we will be right back. You guys don't get sad because we got more, I can't tell you not to get sad. Just feel the song. That's why we play it. We'll be right back.
Take another step closer to the light. We are gathered here to celebrate your life. The endless rows of flowers represent the love you give. From the lives you touch, so many ways. I can't believe you're gone. Minnesota got colder today. But the tears I cried, it won't wash away. The smiles we share. You feel so alive. The pictures cast the sunlight. They warm this cold and empty space. They record your beaming face on your happiest days, yeah. Your difference. Showed us what it means to be alive. They hug it every moment before they walk on by, yeah. I cry, they won't wash away. Smiles are shared in the mountains that we move. Memories keep me walking with you, and you feel so alive. Yeah.
Chris Cross Radio saying he sounds more Western when he sings than when he speaks. And we want to welcome Joel Nelson, a friend of Corey, saying that he grew up with Corey, listening to his music, all kinds of music, listening to Corey as he grew up with Corey. And he even tried to teach him guitar, but he enjoys listening to Corey like we do. Corey, this is great. I think that for anybody who is listening to this show, that they're enjoying your music and they're enjoying the story, because what I love is, the stories behind the music. Sometimes you get to enjoy people's music, but you don't know anything about them. And it's amazing to me how much in common all of you have. Just about everyone that goes through Guvanarama Block Talk Radio, they all have a story of wanting to succeed and wanting to do something more in life. And, the same thing goes for me because, I just started doing radio last summer, and I have no idea how I got here, but it has been a progression of, stepping stones that just happened to be along the way. When we spoke earlier, you mentioned that everything that has happened to you, you feel like people have been put there just when they were needed. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that? Because I think it's a wonderful story for friends to listen to.
Well, I guess where it came from is like for many years, you're always trying to, I'm trying to be successful at other things, but I could mm-hmm. never, it didn't seem like I could ever totally follow through on it. You know, it just, things didn't work out, or you know, you just didn't have the desire to carry that extra step or whatever. But, and nothing would ever fall into place. But for some reason, when I just made up my mind, I turned the switch on in my head that I'm going to, like, well, I think I'm going to make a CD, and I'm going to start playing in front of people. It was funny because when I needed a sideman, the guy that's playing guitar on all these tracks, except for the last one, his name is Doc Rock. That's what his stage name is, and he just came about. So he kind of came around, and then all of a sudden I needed to record, and I ended up finding this, unbelievable couple that lives in Winona that has been recording music since the 70s. They have gold records to their credit, Clio Awards. I mean, it was just amazing how these people just started falling into place. And then the same thing started to happen with, you know, finding places to play, you know, meeting people like you that want to share my music. It always seems to, I don't really worry anymore. And my wife and I are both like that now. It's like, we try not to worry about things because we just are getting to the point now where it's like, it's no use worrying because, you know, either way, something's going to happen. You know, it's going to work out one way or the other. If it doesn't work out, well, then, you know, then I guess we'll just have to take another route. It's not a, we just, I don't know. And that's kind of the way this whole music thing's working out. Things just happen to fall into place. And I think maybe that alone is a sign that this is the right path to keep walking on. So I'll keep doing that.
Wow, it's like that saying, go with the flow. You don't really have to try hard to do it because things just seem to appear out of... Isn't that a good way to live? I mean, I listen to the words that you're saying and I'm really taking it to heart because I used to be a worrier. I mean, if I could think of... that's what I was, a worrier, always worrying about tomorrow, and... I think I have come to feel, you know, the same way, you know, for so many years, not trying to figure out what I was going to do. When I went to college, I went to Oxford College in Minnesota here for journalism, and I thought I was going to be a journalist, and then I decided I couldn't leave my son and go to other, you know, I figured, what if I was sent to another country? So I decided to go into teaching, and I started teaching, and I love everything that I love, everything that I have done in my life, I have enjoyed, but I don't think I have loved it to the point where I, you know, like the way that I feel with radio, it's like I feel like if I stop doing it, I'm going to stop breathing. And even when I think I'm all stressed out and I need to take a break, the day comes, you know, Sunday evening comes, and I have to do it. It's almost like somebody told me one day it was almost like a drug. It's like you got to get your fix. Yeah. Do you feel like that with music?
Oh, you know, I'll tell you what. There's been a couple times. I mean, there's no feeling in the world, especially when you love music. Because I love music before I really realized I could play it. And when you can play it for people and you can look in their eyes and see their reaction, or just playing live for people. There's sometimes when you have like some pretty surreal moments. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to explain it, but can you be a, you know, can you really get addicted to those? I'm sure that you can. I mean, I haven't had like a stretch of shows in a row, but I'll tell you what, I definitely look forward to them, and I know that they're going to happen. I mean, it's a whole nother world when you're connecting with a whole bunch of people at one time with something that you just like made up out of thin air, you know, it's just kind of,
wow.
It's a very surreal kind of a feeling, I guess.
It is. It's wonderful. And, you know, doing radio for me, I don't think I would have had this many friends on Facebook because most people know that when I started out, I had a ton of friends. I had 20.
Yeah.
I had yes, and my kids were saying, Mom, you're so popular. You had 20 friends. Oh, my God. And the only reason why I have so many friends is because I'm doing radio. But I wouldn't have so many. I would not have added so many people. And so I figured I had to continue to grow my base. And I have a lot. Most of them are musicians, actors, producers, you know, you name it. People that deal with the industry, a lot of them are friends. I have the fan page, which that whole thing has grown by itself. And then, of course, a lot of the actors that were on the other page went to that one as well because everybody wants to know what's going on with Cubanorama. But the interesting thing is that they I don't even know where I was going with this. You know what happens is I start reading this chat thing, and I'm reading Christina Ibbotson from Crisscross Radio. She goes, she's addicted to love, a love of radio. And, okay, I know what I was going to say. With this many people, it's connecting them. You were saying that you stand up on stage and how they, you know, you connect with them, you look at them in the eyes, and all of a sudden there's something there, and you get addicted to that. And for me, I think the addiction, if we can call it addiction, is to know that I made a difference in somebody's life. Like when somebody calls me up the next day, or even sometimes after the show, I'm on the phone for 2-3 hours with different people calling or people writing or people on the chat on Facebook saying, where did you get this guy and where can I get his music and, you know, is he going to go on any other talk shows? And that's the kind of thing that pumps me up, you know. That's where I was going with this. See, I'm a little flighty, but I come back. You know, today we were talking about popular or famous people who grew up in Minnesota or who have come through Minnesota. But I want to give you a chance to pick another song. And then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that, because Minnesota, we have to pump up our state. So many people think that Minnesota is Timbuktu, the end of the world, and it is not. So we want to let you guys know a few of the things about Minnesota, including some hospitals that are very well known here. So which song do you think they you would want to share with them now?
I'll tell you what. I had another song on mine, but now that you're talking about the Minnesota, this could be a good segue.
Yeah.
It's called One Step at a Time, and it's about basically partying on the weekends, kind of the way we do it in Minnesota. You work your butt off all week, and, well, I like to have beer, but I know a lot of people like to have wine or whatever, whatever it is they like to relax with. But that's what this song is about, and I could never, there was, it's, I don't want to explain to you how I wrote it or whatever, it might take too long and it might take away from the song, but I had to include a little bit of winter in there, and I had to include a little bit of summer into the song, because we're from Minnesota, and that's just the way it is. You got to figure out how to have a good time when it's like 80 below outside, and well, we all know how to have a good time when it's nice and sunny out, so I had to include a little bit of that all in the song, and well, here it is, One Step at a Time.
Wonderful. We'll be right back.
Said I'm feeling kind of lazy, like a bump on a log, like a cold hot stone, like a junkyard dog. That's right. I think I'll grab a beer and maybe a smoke. I've been beating down from a long hot week, and now I'm sitting down with a front row seat to a bartender named Puck. Gonna take my time, one step at a time. Well, it's cold outside and there's snow in the air. My fingers and my toes, it don't feel all there, no, no. But I'm warm inside, baby, 'cause I'm taking my time. Said a winter's fine, but it's way too long. So grab yourself a bottle of something real strong and stick around for a while. Gonna seek your time, I won't stab at a time. I've been waiting all week for a little bit of relaxation. I got a real bad case of beer starvation. Yeah, 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 one more. I'm bright and I don't seem to care about anything else except my big long chair in mine and my big red cooler, 'cause I'm taking my time. stars align when you're all laid back with a peaceful mind. Yeah, luxury's all in the mind. Yeah, right up here. When you seek your sign, I won't step aside. When you take your time, I won't step aside. Yeah.
I think you all know about the big red coolers. Although nowadays Target has them. I don't want to plug Target, but you know I love Target. What the heck? I love all the different colors. So if you want neon colors, you can find coolers. But I used to have a – I think we got rid of it, didn't we? We gave it away. That thing was old. And so funny that you talk about the big red cooler. So that must be like one of those songs that when you party, you got to have that song.
Yeah, that's a good one to play early in the show to kind of set the tone for the night. I just – I don't know. It kind of was written a little bit about a – there's a bar that's not too far from my house that I go to and – that was another place that was pretty pinnacle and to me playing music. I used to go there for open jams. Somebody invited me there, and there's a bartender who actually I named him in there, Puff. They call him Puff, and he was just like, "Man, you gotta play more, you know." And he'd always invite me out there, and he would like he'd be like, "Come on out, you know. I'll let you. You can have free drinks and whatever. Just come out and play, you know." And it's like I could go. All I had to do
nice.
Was play music and. Sing and play guitar, and I was getting free drinks, you know. I mean, who's going to turn that down, you know? And he's just been encouraging me for a very long time. He's one of my bigger fans, and he's done a lot for me. So that song has a lot of the elements of that bar in it, you know. They got a indoor, outdoor, but yeah.
So fun. Tell me, what do you do for fun in Minnesota? Because Minnesota seems like such a boring place. Everybody thinks, you know, most of my friends are in California, New York, and not that New York, because I grew up in Jersey, but, you know, so they, you know, I keep trying to tell them it's not that much colder than Jersey, guys, but they don't believe me. What do we do here for fun? How do you convince these guys that Minnesota's not that boring?
Well, there's skiing, there's ice fishing, which I don't do. I know I got a lot of friends that go ice fishing. I haven't really figured it out. I used to do it when I was younger, but it doesn't really resonate with me. But there's skiing. There is a lot of indoor activities that you kind of get used to in the middle of wintertime.
Like what? Because I know I'm putting you on the spot. Okay, indoor activities.
play guitar,
and more eating.
Write music. Yeah, eating is definitely big in Minnesota. I can tell you that right now. Everywhere you go, I don't know how many people... There's about 50 hot dishes at every function that you go to. And it's funny because I've had people come that I know that lived in other states, and they come to a Minnesota get-together, and it's like, wow, look at all this food. Can you believe all this food, you know? And it's like, well, what do you mean? You don't have hot dishes and casseroles and stuff at your get-togethers? And they're like, no, actually, no, we don't. You know, we don't eat this much, but that's what we do.
Well, the funny thing is that they always ask, and what is this? And you go, it's called a hot dish.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, to me.
And it's funny, man. Because it's like I grew up here, so it's like you don't even think twice about a hot dish. You're like, oh, that's a hot dish. You know, like, well, you kind of get a couple ingredients, give you a good idea what's in there, but...
Oh, man, hot dish. I tell you, my husband made, he wanted to make last night, meatloaf.
Yep.
He made meatloaf. And so now he's trying to help out a little in the kitchen with, you know, I was doing so many. So I worked last night. And so my daughter, I'm on the phone with this poet from Miami, and she's like, I'm so hungry, I can smell something in the kitchen. I don't know what she was cooking. I said, well, what are you making? And I can't remember what she said. And I said, oh, man, my husband got some hamburger. And she says, well, what are you going to make, picadillo? Picadillo is this Cuban I'll have to send you the recipe. If anybody on the chat wants to know what picadillo is, it's very easy to make, and I'll send you the recipe. But anyway, I said no. He's going to make meatloaf, and she goes, "Oh yuck!" Because you know Cubans eat with a lot of spices. It's nothing like Mexican food, but it's a lot of spices, and it's more like food from Spain where you taste a lot of the flavors, you know. And so my daughter, who is half Cuban and half American, she looks at me and she says, "Mom, Daddy's going to make meatloaf?" And she says, "I don't want him to Americanize me." Oh, we just laughed so much. And then after she ate it, she says, "Baiting, you're going to make picadillo." And our daughter decided she wanted to try meatloaf, and she said, "Okay, Daddy, try the meat, make the meatloaf." So she had the meatloaf, and she said at the end, she says, "Now I can see why we don't eat this stuff." She goes, "It's not very spicy at all." And it just had a bunch of, ketchup on the top. But that's funny because you say hot dish. But I think when you talk to anyone from another country or people who come from other states where the food is, you know, where they have a lot more variety of food. And, I have had a lot of, I don't know about you, you in Winona, you probably don't see a lot of other, do you see a lot, is there a lot of other people
in Winona? A lot of other people. Well, there's like, we have two, actually three colleges in our town. We have Winona State University, St. Mary's, and then there's a technical college. So
okay.
We're probably, it's listed at around 30,000 people. Whoa. But, when the college is in town, you can probably tack on another 10 to 15, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember what the exact figures are. But, our town is actually pretty nice. You should come down sometime because we have a Frozen River Film Festival, which I was at a couple of weeks ago, where they have this, you know what, like Cannes is and some of those bigger film festivals that they have. We kind of have our own here. We have a Beethoven festival, which I haven't really participated in, but I know a lot of people come from all over. And then we have a Shakespeare festival, which we have like some pretty, top-notch people. I've been to a couple plays there, and it's like unbelievable. So we have a nice culture, around here, and we got a lot of arts. So Winona actually is a pretty nice place if you like that sort of thing. And I would highly recommend the Shakespeare in the summertime because it's beautiful here too. We live in the valley right next to the Mississippi River. So you got bluffs and you got a river that you can boat on and lay next to the water on and and just take it really slow. So there's all kinds of stuff to do here. You just gotta people are closer here too, I think, because we got to entertain ourselves a little bit when it gets really cold out. But
you're right. I think that you're right. When it gets cold, if you don't have friends, it gets really lonely because, what do you do? You know, the funny thing is that I usually see people running. I tell my husband when it gets really, really, really cold, and then you see like you go anywhere and you park your car. And I don't know if it happens in Winona, but don't you see people always running from their cars to the store, inside the store? It's like they're running and they're holding onto their coats and everything. So one day, I can't remember if it was day or night, but on purpose, I opened up my coat, and I was freezing my butt, but I opened up my coat, and I was walking really slow. It was freezing. It was so cold. And my husband looks at me and he goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to prove a point." He goes, "Which is?" I said, "I can't stand Minnesota when it gets so damn cold and everybody's running inside the stores." I said, "Why can't we just take it easy, But it was funny. I get kind of goofy sometimes.
That's the tough part. I mean, the older I get, the harder it is. But, like when it gets to below zero, I don't mind the way it is right now. It's pretty balmy. I know it's funny because, I just remember, you see people when it's like, man, it's like, I talk to people on the phone at my other job and they're like, "It's Florida." And they're like, "Yeah, it's pretty rough around here today. It's like 50 out there." And I'm like, "Really?" And he goes, He's like, what's it like there? And I'm like, well, it's about 25, but, man, it's really warm out today. You know, we got the sun, you know. Things are kind of starting to melt, maybe. We don't know, but, you know, because once you get below zero for a couple weeks at a stretch, anything's warm after that, you know. So,
yeah.
So I look forward to anything. And it gets pretty hot here in the summertime, too, so it's not like we're totally – It's just winter just makes us appreciate all the other seasons that much more. I mean, I really believe that.
And people don't realize, I mean, the change in weather, I mean, we have over 100 degrees difference, because in the summer, like, you know, sometimes it could go up to 100 and even higher. And then in the winter, sometimes it goes below zero. But, you know, like you're saying, I think getting older, just the winter stuff, the winter sports to me, just they don't drive me that crazy like they used to. I used to go downhill skiing. I used to go water skiing. I mean, I did a lot of things when I was younger, and now I just enjoy doing radio on Sunday evening.
Yep.
I like having friends over for dinner. I like going to dinner. A lot of stuff around food. But we were talking earlier about some of these famous places or famous people in Minnesota. And now you mentioned Winona. I am going to have to come down to your town this summer and check it out, because I love the arts. And, you know, Minneapolis is full of it, too. And, well, there is some of the cities, like St. Louis Park, has a wonderful festival, too. And I can't remember what that one is called, but they even have free boat rides, or is it not a boat, but a canoe rides. It's amazing how much they have in St. Louis Park. It's a beautiful city. Maple Grove, Minnesota, also has some wonderful festivals. There's another one that up in, where's that, the one where my brother, close to where my brother, Hastings, Minnesota. Did you know that Hastings, Minnesota has, in the summertime, they have a car show, and it goes for weeks and throughout the summer, every other week. So if you guys live in Minnesota, check it out. It's in Hastings, Minnesota, and I love going there because, I mean, everybody is, it's like blocks and blocks and blocks, and it's right down by, is that the Mississippi River or the Minnesota River? I'm not sure what river it is, but it's right by the river, and the food and the people, it's just like, it almost looks like something out of a magazine. For it doesn't even seem real, because it seems like you're living in the 1920s. I mean, and people are so nice, and it's beautiful. I like to pick on Minnesota sometimes because I'm not from here, but I've lived here just about all of my life since I was 16. And I love it. I think I, of course, I love New Jersey because I was raised there, and I have so many friends and family in Miami. I almost feel like I belong in these three places. If I could, I would probably have a home in all three because I love those states and I love the people. But in Minnesota, we have had a lot of wonderful things happening, and we have Prince. What else can you think of? You mentioned a hospital.
Well, we have Mayo. You know, it's one of the biggest hospitals in the world, or most renowned hospitals in the world, I guess. So
yes,
we got a better chance to get really good health care if something happens to us. You know, we're within a drive away, so
exactly.
That's not a bad perk.
Well, we have wonderful health care here. We have really good hospitals. I think that North Memorial is one of those, where they usually fly anybody that's, you know, what do they call it, a trauma center? I mean, you've seen that in the summer when kids have had, or anybody has an accident, they usually fly people there. And that's not too far away from my home. I hope I never have to go there for trauma, but, you know, I mean, if it ever happens, there it is. And we've had, actors. I don't know this guy, but William Demarest.
I don't know if I know that one either.
Doesn't ring a bell with me, but I'm looking at Walter Mondale, vice president. We know him.
Yeah, well, Walter Mondale.
And my husband. Yes.
Oh, you there? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to talk about your husband.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I was going to throw, like, Bob Dylan in there. And
yes.
He was Robert Zimmerman, I think, is what his name was before he was Bob Dylan. And then you've got Vince Vaughn was one I think we were talking about before, that actor.
Right.
The Wedding Crashers, which is still one of my, I don't know, it's a really funny movie. It is.
I do. I love that movie. Hey, and guess what I just found? Richard W. Sears, the founder of Sears Roebuck and Company, born in Stuartville.
Wow.
You guys didn't
you
know
go.
That? Sears started in Minnesota. We're trying to educate you guys out there who think Minnesota doesn't have anything. We have hot dishes. We have snow.
Yep. And we have Dylan and Prince. I mean, what else? You know.
And
Prince,
Corey.
That's a pretty big one. Well, they're both pretty
I know.
Big.
And now you.
Yep. I don't know if I can say my name next to those guys. I think it'll take a lot of work to do that, but I appreciate
Corey,
it.
Corey, you know, you just haven't been around as long as these guys have, but, you know, I love your music. You have a wonderful voice. For someone who, you know, hasn't been in the business for that long, you don't sound like an amateur to me. You sound like somebody who has been around. It's really, you know, my co-host is saying yes. You sound like you've been around forever. I mean, I'm really, you know, and anybody who listens to your music, I'm sure they would feel the same way. I don't know what you're doing or how you're doing it, but I think it's a gift from God or, you know, a higher power. You just, you know, like the rest, like my friend who is a wonderful writer and didn't even know she had the gift to write. And, you know, all of a sudden she has a book and people are, you know, she has musicians who are reading her book and saying, can we get your permission to write song, you know, music to your writing? So, you know, to me, you're amazing. We have a few more songs left, and I would love to share them with the public because I think they need to get a little bit more of a taste of what you have to offer. We have How to Change the World, and we have Perfect, and we have On My Way. Which one do you want to play for the last when we say goodbye?
Okay, so we got one more song to play before we go?
No, we have three. We have three, but I'm trying to say, which one do you want to play at the end, and then we will save that one.
Oh, I see. I think maybe we could save On My Way for the end just because of the message, because, well, we'll be on our way. You'll hear one, yeah. I think it'll make sense when we get there, but you know, what do you got for that? What else
we
do
have
you want to play?
Perfect, How to Change the World. You know, for guys who didn't hear that one about the girls, I'm going to play that one again. I love that one. Whichever one you like.
I would say, why don't we do How to Change the World? We could just do that because it is a little different than the one that you guys have heard that I had out before, because this one's actually got some drums and some guitar on it. I just sent out pretty much the demo is what I had out there before, but... this song, along with the last one that we played and the Take This Ring, as a reminder to everybody that's listening, you can stop over at my website at planetcorey.com, and that's Corey. I'm giving those three songs away to anybody that subscribes to my email list. I'm not going to abuse your email or nothing like that, but I'll give them to you totally for free just so you get used to me and, you know, get a chance to check me out. And the How to Change the World that's coming up here, this is just, this all came from my frustration. I really think that people are selling themselves short nowadays as far as, you know, and I was the same way for a long time too. I sat behind my desk and I complained about the way things were going. And, then eventually I had to do something about it, you know, and that if you want to change the world, you know, you gotta get out there and put your two cents in there. And it's the same thing. People were complaining about the elections and, like, I don't like the way things are going with the government and everything else. And it's just like, well, you know, you got to say something and just stop complaining and do something about it. And that's kind of where this song came from, just to help remind myself that, that's what I got to do if I want to change something, take it in my own hands.
That's wonderful. And I believe, like you, if you want to change the world, you have to take action. And with that, we're going to play his song, How to Change the World. We will be right back.
broken collar with nowhere to go. Slipping back to work to put his head in a hole, yeah. And he has the nerve to bitch and complain that I'm a walk around and around with the same. He has a problem, but so we all stop that and question, man, the answers will come. You wanna change the world, you can't stand by. No man, it stops inside. You gotta stop stumbling in darkness and start walking in light. You wanna change the world, you can't stand by. Every 4 years it goes up and low.
Okay, that song, that the beginning of that song reminded, I don't know, it sounds like something I've heard before. I can't put my, I've been singing it to my co-host and he keeps laughing. Do you ever do that? Like, oh man, that song reminds me of another song. It's a rock song. It's a beautiful song. I love the chord. How do you write your words first and then the music, or do you write the music first and then the words, or do you write both together? How do you do that?
I think it's a little bit of everything. Sometimes it might be just, you just start playing something and it's like, ooh, that sounds like this. Or maybe you sit down and you intentionally try to write something like I did for my uncle on the Take This Ring. And then you just kind of fiddle around with stuff. And then you just try to get a theme in your head. I don't know. It's kind of a mixture of everything that you said. It's kind of a hard to describe, because I knew that question would come from somebody at some point. I never really came up with a really good answer, but I think that that's pretty much what it is. It's just one day you sit down, you have a couple words, you play a couple chords and it's like, oh, those go together, and then you just kind of go from there. I mean, I don't really have that big of a formula yet, but I'm kind of getting there, I guess.
I had one musician told me that when he gets inspired, one time he was driving and he had to pull over and start writing. Does that ever happen to you?
Absolutely. It's like one of them things with my family or my, I'll be like, and my wife, and she's getting used to it, but at first she kind of hated it because I'd be like, wait, don't talk. I gotta remember this until I find a piece of paper. So I'm like running through the house, trying to like repeat this line in my head, you know, and I'm like trying to fit it. No, don't say nothing, you know, like, because otherwise you forget it. It's gone forever. And I've had that happen so many times. I'm like paranoid now. I'm a note taking freak, to be honest with you. I got a pad of a composition, a little book that I carry around in my back pocket, and I write my ideas down. I've got I use this tool called Evernote on the computer. It's just basically like a big giant scrapbook that you can save web pages to, and you know, like maybe you wanna, or I just keep notes in it. Like I write down my ideas about my website or like all my songs. I kind of write in there if I get an idea, like, ooh, this sounds like a good song title. I just chuck it in there because you never know, I might use it sometime. So you're always trying to keep everything that you can think of. I mean, if you just don't want to lose something, because once it's gone, you know, and it might have been the best. I might have just thought of like how to cure cancer or something, and then I forgot about it because I didn't write it down. See, that's my biggest fear, you know,
right.
Something like that. Probably a bad example. It's kind of distasteful, but you know, I think you understand what I'm saying.
No, I do. I do, because I mean, I do the same thing, and I thought I was losing it because I have so many books. I mean, since I started doing radio, you'd be amazed how many notebooks I've filled out with notes and stuff. And I sometimes think, you know, this is crazy. I mean, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, should I, you know, because after the shows are done, I'm thinking, why am I keeping all the stuff with all of these notes and all of these things? And I'm thinking maybe someday if I write a book, because I don't know. I mean, I might. I always, that's the other thing. I always thought I was going to write a book before I started doing radio. Actually, since I was 16, I started writing, and I have a lot of poetry, and I thought I was going to write books. I don't know what I was going to write about, but I always thought maybe something about Cuba and living in a communist country and my experience there, and I always thought it would be a movie. You know?
Well, it's never too late, you know? That's what I was thinking. No, that,
yes.
I know that's funny that I say that, but no, maybe you will sometime, you know? I had a friend tell me that I was going to write a book someday, too, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. I don't know what where he got it, and I don't think he did either, but I've heard that too. And it's not very hard nowadays, really.
No, it isn't. And you know what is really interesting when talking about writing a book and about, you know, the Internet is an amazing tool. I don't know how people function before, you know.
Yeah.
And then with Facebook, because I was so anti anything with to do with Facebook or MySpace or anything like that. And now, you know, I was talking to someone earlier, and I said I feel like Facebook and the Internet is almost like that's my office, my laptop, and where I do everything. I was on there earlier, and I had just before I talked to you on the phone. And somebody came on the chat, and it was another young man who I'm having on the show next month, and he was apologizing for not sending his music. And I'm thinking, you know, it's next month. I've been so busy, I didn't even miss it. And so it was so funny that that you get on the computer and you're actually doing business on the chat, you know, on a chat room. You're conducting business. And before, it used to be that you had to be either on the phone or visiting someone face-to-face. But you can save a lot of money by using technology, and not only money, but you can find out so much more. You can find a lot of information of how to find things, where to get what. And I use Facebook it's crazy the amount of people that know about the show because of Facebook, and But anyways, I was going in another. You know what I did is I opened up a group for the town that I lived in when I was a kid in Cuba, and this was many, many years. I was 10 years old when I left Cuba. I opened a group for this town called Parraga, La Habana, Cuba, Havana, Cuba. And do you know, I totally forgot because I'm not an internet person, so I do things and then I forget about them. I'm thinking and hoping that I will remember, somebody will remember my town, somebody will be Googling it, and, you know, they will go, oh, wow, what's this? Well, guess what? This lady emailed me the other day and said, Marta, where are you? Because it was the creator. I must have put my email there. And she said, where are you? The group is growing, and you know how many members are there? 147 members.
Wow.
Of this town that I left when I was 10 years old, not only are these members active, but they have posted pictures of the town, pictures of my neighbors, pictures of a lady whose home we visited every single evening and had Cuban coffee and talked about Fidel. It's amazing. And so many of them are trying to get together and have a get-together, like once a year get-together. And, in fact, a couple of the members have gone to Cuba and have taken pictures of some of the neighbors. And one lady remembered me. I left when I was 10. I'm over 40. And these people in Cuba are like, we know her. So it's amazing what the internet does, you know. I love it. And if it wasn't for the internet, I wouldn't be on the radio because I found all of my friends, just about every single one of them from New Jersey, all of my high school friends, I found them. Even though I left the first year of high school. Can you believe that?
No, I totally can believe it. I just, I probably wouldn't be playing music if it wasn't for that. The Joel that's on the chat room right now, that's actually how we met again. We were friends in high school. We hung out a lot back then. And then he moved away. He lived in different places. And then I didn't hear from him for maybe... I must have been like 10 years. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, chat room. But all of a sudden I came home one day, and my wife, who never knew Joel. I mean, Joel was, you know, at least 10 years before my wife came into my life. And she's like, yeah, some Joel guy called you. You know, I'm like, Joel? Like, Joel who? And she's like, Joel Nelson. I'm like, what? You know, so the same thing happened to me. I'm like, oh, unbelievable. And sure enough, he found me on, like, MySpace, and... you know, and now we keep up. I mean, we talk a little bit here and chat on Facebook or whatever else, but it was the same thing, and it's really cool because, you know, he lives in Arizona, I live in Minnesota, but it's nice that we could still chit-chat once in a while because we did get along so well when we were we had the same kind of sense of humor, kind of really kind of corny and zany, but it was good, but it's all good.
That is wonderful. I love that you are able to connect with people. And, you know, so when you say about writing books and stuff, I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun doing this, but it's in the back of my head. So I don't know. I might turn 70 someday. And when I'm done with radio and I get, you know, not for a long time, guys. So I'm not anywhere near that. So don't be going, that'll be 5 years from now. I'm very young. So. I think for now I have so much more to explore with radio. I feel like I'm just a baby in diapers when it comes to this stuff. And I might even call on you to give me some pointers since you did radio before. When you did radio, did you study to do radio? Because I didn't study any. I mean, I studied journalism a few years ago in my 30s, and then I went into teaching. But... Well, okay, what does Joel Nelson say? He says that was over 15 years ago that you guys met, and he says internet. See, this is a fun part about the internet and all of these abbreviations. I don't know what all of them mean because they have some Spanish ones and English. I know that must be English. Like the Spanish people don't know what LOL means, so I have to let them know that means laughing out loud. And for the Spanish, if you guys see this stuff on my Facebook and you see J-A-J-A, it goes ja-ja-ja, that means ha-ha-ha, you know? So they're laughing. He says, oh, FTW means for the win, internet for the win. Okay, what does that mean?
I'm not sure either. Sorry, Joel.
Joel. What do you mean, Joel, for the win? Internet is, I suppose he's saying the internet is what makes, you know, hey. I don't know, Joel. I can't. I don't know what you're talking about. Go ahead and spell it out for us because, you know, Kubanarama is not from around here.
Yeah.
even though I... You know, my friends always pick on me, and I don't know. I don't care. I let them pick on me because, you know, for some things I know more than the people who have been here, you know, and then some of them say, oh, I didn't know that. It's like, well, I did. And then, of course, I feel that being a cult, double cult, having this double culture really kind of plays a number on me because sometimes I'm thinking in one language, especially like when I do the show, and now he says, ha, thanks. To the internet, we got back together. Score one for the internet, basically. Okay, that's what I thought you meant. He's like, yay, hooray!
all right, chalk one up for the internet, basically.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So that's what it means. And, you know, who invented the internet? Is he from Minnesota?
I'm not sure. I know Al Gore said he did once, but I don't think that was... Right.
Oh, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I think, never mind. No, Al Gore didn't invent the internet. But, oh my goodness, can you believe we have 13 minutes left?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I want to ask you, how is it that you do it at, because you have three little children and a wife and do you have a full-time job? And you do music on the side. For people who want to say, you know, they say, I don't have the time. I hear that a lot. I don't have the time to pursue my love. You know, I wish I could do that, but I don't have the time. What do you say? Because how do you do it?
You know, I get these conversations all the time. I think one of the things that I started with, I mean, for me, was I turned off the TV. That was the one because... Just think of the time that you sit in front of a TV. And I'm not saying I don't watch it because I still love TV just as much as a nice guy. I grew up, I was weaned on it. I mean, that's what I did for many, many years. But I think that one alone was like a huge time hit. I mean, a lot of people will sit and watch 3 hours worth of TV at night, and you'd be amazed at how much stuff you can get done in 3 hours. If you know, and that really is probably the biggest thing. Other than that, it's just being flexible, knowing how to do stuff. You know, and slide in and slide out, and your wife being extremely understanding, and you know, it's not always relaxing and can be stressful. But I guess if it's for the common good, and I think that everybody thinks that it is, and you really want it bad enough, you're gonna find a way to do it. I mean, that's the other thing I think, because I don't sit down and write music every night of the week, and just because I can't, but I'm definitely looking around the corner and trying to find every little opportunity I can to schedule stuff in. And yeah, it's not easy, but like I said, I mean, if you really want to do it, if you're really serious about doing something, pursuing it, you're going to find out, you're going to find a way. And I don't think that you can just say I can't, because then you pretty much failed already. I mean, you're not even giving yourself a chance. You know, you just gotta do it. Just start doing it, you know, just one night instead of like flipping on, you know, CSI, you know, or Survivor or American Idol or whatever, you know, instead of that, you know, just pick up a book and or hop on the internet, ask a question, look up something that you're interested in. You know, there's a million ways to do stuff. One of the things I did with my guitar, and this maybe is for a good musician, I wrote about this on my other music blog, but a foolproof way to make sure that you keep playing guitar and that you give yourself the opportunity to write music is to always have your instrument and sit in front of you, put it next to the TV, put it somewhere where you're going to see it every day, next to your bed. If you read, put it next to your reading thing. I mean, just make sure that the thing's out. Don't put it in the back corner of your house, you know, like in the case, you know, where you don't see it. You have to see it at all times, because I can't tell you the half – How to Change the World probably was written because I happened to just see my guitar and I wanted to play it, and I just started picking it up, noodling around. Next thing you know, I'm writing a song. Next thing you know, I'm learning a song, or I'm into a hour and a half practice session, you know, because it just happens like that, you know. I mean, you don't necessarily plan it all the time. So put it in front of you, you know, think about it, talk to people about it. But first of all, you just got to believe that you can do it. I mean, because if you don't believe that you can do it, then you've already lost the battle, I think. So that's what I've been doing. I've been trying to convince myself for a lot of years, and here I am. So.
Well, you don't have to convince me because I know you can do it. And so basically, you know, I think it may not be a bad idea for people who love to write. Just have a notebook next to your bed or, like you say, by the TV. And because if you think you're going to put it away, if you're a clean nut like I used to be until I started doing radio, I can't keep up with everything like I used to. But if you think that you're going to put that notebook away and then you're going to pick it up, you just don't, do you?
No, you don't. You gotta have the stuff accessible. You know, have the notebook close by. Do stuff that inspires you. You know, like one thing for me is like, you know, listen to music, read a book about somebody famous, or read a book about somebody that was successful. Read a book on how to do something different. That's the kind of stuff that keeps me going. You know, I mean, that gives me new ideas. It freshens things up. It gives me drives. It gives me new perspective. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, I don't want to harp on TV too much, but I really think that it's kind of a, and like I said, I watch plenty the way it is right now. But really, if you kind of sit there and you think about, you know, you're not really doing anything when you're watching TV. I mean, you're just kind of, you're kind of a zombie. And that's fine. I mean, sometimes you got to shut down and everything like that, but I totally was one who was way too deep. I mean, I'd come home and do like 4 or 5 hour stretches after work every day, and when I was single, and it just like it hypnotizes you. You know, I mean, you got to get out there. You got to read other perspectives because everything they're feeding you on there is pretty much it's all sanitized. You know.
Right, and you know, and now too, I think a lot of people enjoy playing games like computer games and. And that's fine, but I think if you feel like you need more out of life, I'm with you there, Corey. I think that there are so many people that don't even have a clue that they have a gift. Like myself, I had no idea. And then one day I connected with an old friend from high school who had a radio show in Jersey and told me that I should do this. And then I got on the internet, and with my 20-some friends, I was acquiring a few more by then because so many of my friends actually, I say there was something in the water in New Jersey because most of my high school friends became actors, producers, musicians, and that's how I got into what I'm doing today, and that's how I met so many of them. But I just posted the question. My friend Don Roy, thinks I should do a radio show. What do you guys think I should call it? And the very first answer was Cubanorama from somebody who is in the business and knew what he was saying. And I thought to myself, boy, if this guy thinks that I should do a radio show, this other one thinks I should do a radio show, I couldn't let them down. So I started, and the rest is history. I've had many, many people come and ask, can I be on your show? And I'm like, yes, of course you can be on my show. And I'm so excited. I am so happy that I met you. You know, you have a terrific family. I don't know your wife, but I can just hear you in your voice, the joy, the happiness that you have. You don't get here alone. You get here with people who care and love you and support you. And I'm happy for you. And I know that we are going to be listening more about you because you have a terrific talent, a God-given talent, and I'm so glad that you decided to pick up a pen and start writing and pick up the guitar and start making music.
Well, thank you very much. That really, hearing that kind of stuff is what makes it even easier to do the next time, for sure. So I really appreciate that. That's not to be kind of corny, but it really is kind of a fuel that kind of fires you. You know what I mean? It's kind of like you're throwing coal in my furnace and we're chugging on down the railroad tracks, you know?
And I'm not just saying it because you're on my show, because I really love your music. I really do. It's, you know, when I listen to people, you know, sometimes I have people whose music I don't necessarily listen to all the time. Like, that wouldn't be the kind of music I would pick up and listen to. But when I listen to music, I really listen to it. And I everyone who comes through the show, it's because I have studied their stuff. You and I have been friends for quite a few months, and, you know, now it's that you come. And not because I didn't like the music, but I just was so busy, you know. But, you know, people who know me know I don't say things that I don't believe in, or, you know, I'm honest. So I love it, and I know everyone who's listening to your stuff loves it. I started out with the one song that was very controversial because I thought that would be the kickoff. If you guys didn't listen to it, now which one are you giving away? Can you tell them? Because we have about 4 minutes left of the show. What is your website again where you're giving away? You're giving away three songs?
Yep. My website is planetcorey.com. So it's Corey with an E-Y, Corey.com. And the three songs I'm giving away are Take This Ring. That was the ballad, that the second song that we played. And the song after that, the two songs after that we played, I'm sorry, what the heck
That's
am I thinking?
Okay.
One
Perfect.
Step at a Time. My God, I'm under pressure. So we got One Step at a Time, and then I got How to Change the World. So all three of those songs are on there. The rest are going to be available when I get my CD done, which is getting pretty close. Hopefully I'm going to be able to order these in the next couple of weeks, so maybe in about 2-3 weeks I'll be able to actually put a CD up for sale, and then you'll be able to get all the songs. So if you guys are interested, you know, stop by my website, grab the three songs, you know, put your email address in there and let me know, and I'll keep you posted, because I definitely want to get it out there, and I want to spread the messages in those songs, so...
Yes, so you're giving away One Step at a Time, How to Change the World. What was the third song?
Take This Ring.
Take This Ring.
Mm-hmm.
And they're absolutely beautiful. And I know they're going to have to get that CD because they want that one, Bitterness. I like that. That was, you know, they're all awesome songs. But this Bitterness is, you know, that's the foot stumping, everybody singing, have another beer. I just see a bunch of guys just like, oh, what a, you know. You guys got to listen to the whole show. If you came in at the end of the show, you know, listen to the beginning and you'll hear that song. You'll love it. What can I say? I love you. I love everything that you came and you brought to the table this evening. It was a wonderful 2 hours. It went by so fast. But now everybody knows a little bit more about you. They know about Minnesota. They know about Kovana Rama, how goofy she can be and laugh her butt off over nothing, you know, over the word hot dish. You know, it just kind of hit me because I was thinking about some friends of mine who like to kind of pick on that Minnesota thing. Hot dish, and the way they say it, they're so cute. And with that, you know, we have a minute left. What do you want to tell our friends and the world out there listening to you tonight?
I just want to tell everybody to, you know, follow their dreams, you know, do what you got to do. I know it's kind of a cliche thing, but, you know, it's real. You know, let's be more proactive about things. I mean, there's a lot of crap going on out there, and I think that we all need to realize that we can change stuff, you know, and stop being hypnotized. Don't believe everything you hear, you know, do something, you know, enjoy your life. But at the same time, let's leave a life for our children to enjoy too. I mean, it's kind of deep, but you know, I really believe that. I think we can all make change, you know, for
yes,
sure.
We
so
can.
Just got to believe
and
it.
Wonderful. And I have, they're saying 60 seconds. You guys go to my website. Any information that you are looking for about Corey, you will find there, www.kuvanarama.com. I will put all your info. If there's anything missing, email me, and we'll get it there just to make sure that everybody can get everything they need to contact you on your website, your blog, because I love your blog. You guys got to follow him. So anyways, with that, I say goodbye. 23 seconds. Goodbye. I love you forever, and I will be back next Sunday at 8 o'clock. Goodbye,
thank
Corey.
You, thank you, everybody. Oh, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Have a good evening. Have a good evening, everyone.
You too. Bye.
Yes, and we'll play that song, On My Way. It's the last song, On My Way.
Hear me out. Been a bumpy road, but I know that I'm not alone. You know I'm not alone. See, we all have vices across the veil, and the demons inside will always be there. But it's just an illusion. I don't have to serve them, no, 'cause I'm on my way. Gonna bask in the sun. I've been hard on myself, and I'm always hearing it from everyone else. But it's much, much easier when you let it flow. 'Cause when you look inside, you already know which card to play, which road to travel. Through doubt and eyes, I finally came to realize
along with that one, Jack, but you could always keep you guessing. You said it's not my fault. If I was letting myself get played, I always let my manhood fade. Yeah, never again, baby. To all the girls I love you from, you can all go to hell. To all the girls I love you from, you can all go to hell. To all the girls I love you from, you can all go to hell.